Hi, Matt here. We're excited to celebrate a milestone. Think Fast, Talk Smart is approaching our 300th episode. To mark the occasion, I'll be hosting two free Ask Matt Anything events on June 3rd at 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. Pacific. We'll run these on LinkedIn and YouTube, open to everyone around the globe. Before taking your questions, I'll share one of my favorite new communication structures for advancing ideas and arguments. Anyone joining can submit questions online during the event, and a few of our learning community members will have the opportunity to ask me their questions live on video. Don't miss this opportunity to be part of this live AMA on June 3rd. Be sure to sign up on LinkedIn, YouTube, or fastersmarter.io/live. Now a word from one of our sponsors. Their support covers the cost of production, allowing us to bring you quality content free of charge. Language isn't just about words. It's about connection, opportunity, and credibility. That's one reason I like Babbel. It focuses on real-world communication, not just vocabulary drills, but practical conversations you can actually use, whether that's collaborating internationally, traveling for work, or building relationships across cultures. The lessons are short, about 10 minutes, so they fit into busy schedules, and they're designed by more than 200 language experts with tools for listening, speaking, reading, and writing. It adapts to how you learn and helps you track real progress over time. For many of our listeners, whether you're strengthening English skills, adding another language for professional growth, or staying connected globally, it's a practical way to keep moving forward. Babbel has over 25 million subscriptions sold worldwide, offers 14 languages, and every course comes with a 14-day money-back guarantee. If you've ever thought about learning another language, this is a perfect opportunity to start. Right now, Babbel is offering up to 60% off your subscription at babbel.com/TFTS. That's Babbel, BABBEL.com/TFTS for up to 60% off. Rules and restrictions apply.
The ability to tell effective stories can fundamentally change not just your communication, but the relationships that you have. My name is Matt Abrahams, and I teach strategic communication at Stanford Graduate School of Business. Welcome to Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. We have something very special for you, a two-part series on unconventional, non-traditional storytellers who teach us the essence of effective storytelling. You'll be hearing a series of conversations that help us understand the ingredients to a successful storytelling recipe. I want to let you in on a little secret. When you write a book to help other people, you actually end up helping yourself more. When I wrote my book, Think Faster, Talk Smarter, I was amazed to learn so much about storytelling. And the thing that was further surprising is I learned the most from people who weren't storytellers. They simply used storytelling in their everyday jobs. And this got me thinking, wouldn't it be great to learn from the expertise and best practices from these unconventional storytellers? We'll be talking to a magician, a cartoonist, a social media influencer, a lawyer, and even a comedian. Taken together, we will glean insights that can make all of us more effective storytellers. We plan to do this in two episodes. The first of our episodes is going to focus on structure. How do we design and frame our messages? And the second part will be focused on the delivery component. How do we make them engaging and interesting and relevant for our audiences? To start, we're going to take ourselves into the courtroom. We're going to meet Neil Chatterjee. Neil is a high technology litigator. His job is to take very complex ideas and make them accessible stories that the jury can understand and see his version of the truth. Let's hear how Neil does this.
Steve Martin did a presentation on what it takes to be a good stand-up comedian. And he said when someone walks out in front of an audience and says, "How's everyone doing today?" That's a missed opportunity. It's a missed opportunity because that is your first moment to set a theme and a concept on whatever your onstage presence is. And the same thing applies in storytelling. With my teams, I always say we have to figure out the 2-3 line statement on this is a case about. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, right? Mm-hmm. That famous line sets a theme of what the whole storyline of the book is going to be about. Same thing happens when you're storytelling in the type of work that I do. People need context mm-hmm. to understand the details that they're going to learn within the story. And so signposting is important. A framework of where you are in the story is important. That's not in every kind of storytelling, but I will typically have outlines of here's where we're going to go. We're going to learn about the parties. We're going to learn about the facts. And then we're going to learn about where things went wrong. And then I'm going to tell you what my ask is at the end. For the type of work that I do, that's particularly important because it's a lot of hard to digest, sometimes technical information, and people get impatient. So if they know where you are in the outline, they know how long they have to manage their attention. And that's like a really important thing to do when you're talking to someone, you know, for 45 minutes or an hour on something they didn't even know they were going to hear about earlier in the day. You know, I'll come up with an outline and a framework. And then sometimes I'll realize that when I come up with that outline and framework, I get pride of authorship and I don't want to change it, but it's just not working. So I have to completely restructure it. Mm-hmm. What I typically do is I'll take all of the evidence that I might want to give to a jury, and then I put it into some sort of a framework and outline. And then I start paring out as much as I can that I consider noise, things that people might be distracting. And then I'll say, why do I feel uncomfortable about something I'm saying here? And I'll say, okay, maybe I need to address it or I need to remove it.
When I talk about story, I talk a lot about the premise and the promise. The premise is the situation, the context, and the promise is the commitment you're making to those who are going on the journey with you as you tell your story. And it's clear to me that Neil thinks about the premise and the promise. And when he talks about it being a puzzle, to me, that's really reinforcing the notion that a story is nothing more than just a logical connection of ideas, but they have to be logical for the audience. And Neil really takes his audience seriously. So much so that he works in front of practice juries to see how his ideas resonate. It's all about the information, but it's also about the emotion. I like to say that all effective communication, stories included, must have a goal. What do we want the audience to know? How do we want them to feel? And what do we want them to do? And Neil is absolutely focused on that. And that's what's helping him be effective. And I think it can help all of us be effective. This notion of feeling and framing is critical to effective storytelling. And we can hear that from our next speaker. And I won't say very much about her because one of her big lessons is being concise. Let's listen to Hillary Price, a newspaper cartoonist and author of the syndicated strip Rhymes with Orange.
So for my creative process, I tend to come up with the joke first, and then I audition the characters. Is this most effectively done by having two dogs talking to each other, by having a dog talk to a person talk to a dog? Maybe it should be some kind of flow chart or something like that. What is the best way to get the gag across? You know what? I'll walk you through what's going to be my Easter gag, right?
Great.
So I started out and I was talking with a friend and we were brainstorming ideas or what are the kind of cliches of Easter that are appropriate for a newspaper. So, you know, the bunny, right? And then we were thinking, well, where does this bunny exist outside of Easter? And we came up with the idea of, you know, the magician. What if you took the concept of you've got a magician and you've got a bunny, and the bunny is turning to the magician and saying, I told you I needed this Sunday off. So then in order for this to work, you need to have some clues that this is a Easter. You don't want to say it's Easter because anybody reading the newspaper on that day is going to know Easter, right? And so I had the bunny, the prop I added was the bunny holding a basket, right? That's all I needed to say Easter. And then it never says Majesto the Magnificent in the drawing, because if you see a man and a cape and a mustache, and there's like a dove and some rings or something, some magic rings, then you, the reader, already bring to the experience where we are. And so then it was a matter of, I ended up with, I told you I needed this Sunday off, but it started with, before that, like, I told you this was my side hustle. So the goal in cartooning is you want to simplify and amplify. Those are the two things. And also not spoon feed your reader, because the joy of a cartoon, it's interactive. It's going from not getting it to getting it. You never want to start a story with, you know, first I was born, and then too much introduction is not necessary. You want to start at the action moment or right before the action moment. The way that this translates in for me is that I have a single panel to do this. So I can't futz around giving too much information. That is unnecessary. And so with humor, you either want to show an event right before it happens or right after it happens. So if I were going to throw a glass of water at you, what is funnier? Me about to throw the glass of water or the act of it? Well, you want to give the audience the joy of imagining it as you're showing it versus telling it. Besides, water is too hard to draw.
Right. There's a practicality to it. So yes. What I'm hearing you say, which is really important for, I think, all of us to think about, is where do you start? And some of us start too early and with too much.
Yes.
And we have to think, I love this idea of what's the action moment.
Right.
I want to ask you, because of all the guests we're talking to for this miniseries, you're the only one that uses any visual elements at all. But my question for you is, how important is the visual element? And where does the visual element come in your process?
The first question in creating a joke is taking two disparate ideas and going, what if? What is the connection between these two things? So it is a game that I often play in order to generate gags. I call it the justification game, trying to decide how two different things might make sense, right? In a way that disrupts the cliches. And I would say that the visual comes later. Like, the visual is the last thing that happens. But even that is an iterative process. So I might draw something and then redraw it type of thing in order to cut elements out, in the same way that I'm cutting words out of the speech bubble. I'm not overcomplicating the drawing because I only want to put the elements that are important. If they're decorative, I don't want them there because I'm going to tell my audience, if I've drawn it, then my audience knows it's a clue. I've got two things to say terms of crafting, I would say, a speech or a gag. It's called a punchline for a reason. You want to end on the strongest word in a cartoon, right? So the reader has to get to it, and then there's the boom. And then your job as a cartoonist is not to have another character comment on the punchline. That is the reader's job. That's the listener's job. You don't like say, and here you laugh, right?
Right. So Hillary really thinks about how she frames her comics, literally in one frame. And she also thinks about the feeling that she wants people to have as they together with her in viewing what she's created, come to a mutual understanding. She puts a tremendous amount of thought into where she finds her inspiration for the stories she tells. But what she teaches us in all good storytelling, both professionally and personally, I think, is less is more. What's the critical few? And she invites those reading her comic strip, just like we invite those listening or reading to our stories, to have a shared experience. She is bringing us to an experience. Often it's funny. Many times thought-provoking, and that's what we want. When you are crafting story, you are actually inviting the person who is receiving the story to be part of it with you. And she highlights some of the key ideas, I think, that help us do that.
We'll be right back to finish our conversation. But first, a quick word from one of our sponsors. Their support allows us to bring you this show free of charge.
When things get busy, and they always do, the real challenge is focus. Knowing where to spend your time so you actually make meaningful progress. But that's hard when you're trying to do everything yourself. That's where Upwork can help. Upwork is a one-stop platform to find, hire, and pay expert freelancers across areas like marketing, development, data and analytics, and more. It gives you fast access to specialized talent so you can move quickly, fill key gaps, and keep your work moving forward without getting stuck. You can browse profiles, review past work, and get help scoping your project so you can hire with confidence and get started faster. And if speed really matters, you can connect with top-tier talent and get matched in under 6 hours. It's a simple way to maintain momentum and focus on what matters most. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. If you think about it, a lot of our communication challenges at work aren't about what we say. They're about what never gets clearly shared in the first place, especially as teams grow and change. Processes live in people's heads, explanations vary, and over time, that leads to confusion and inconsistency. This is exactly the problem today's sponsor, Scribe, was built to solve. Trusted by over 80,000 enterprises, including nearly half of the Fortune 500, Scribe is a workflow AI platform that captures what you're doing in real time and automatically turns it into clear, step-by-step guides. No recording, no manual write-ups. So instead of adding one more task to your to-do list, you can just do your work knowing it's being documented for others. As our team has grown, we've spent a lot of time walking people through onboarding, tool transitions, and cross-team workflows. And the reality is, we're often just too busy to stop and properly document all of it. With Scribe, you just turn on the extension, go through the process, and it builds the guide as you go. Something that might take hours or get pushed aside entirely now takes seconds. It also automatically redacts sensitive information so you can share confidently across teams, contractors, and new hires. And anyone following along gets real-time on-screen guidance. So the message isn't just sent, it's actually understood and applied. And what I really appreciate is that Scribe doesn't just document your processes, it helps you improve them by showing you where things could be more consistent, more efficient, and easier to hand off. To book a personalized enterprise demo, visit scribe.how/thinkfast. That's S-C-R-I-B-E. .how/thinkfast. And now back to our conversation.
It's really interesting to step back and think about the advice that both Neil and Hillary share with us. It's all about the intentionality of the design of the story. It's how you structure it. It's what you know about your audience. It's about being concise and clear. All of those elements are elements that not only can help us be better storytellers, but just better communicators. And this leads us very nicely into what our second episode will be covering, which is really about how do you engage an audience. Stay tuned for episode 2 of our unconventional, non-traditional storytellers. Thank you for listening to this Think Fast, Talk Smart mini-series. This episode was produced by Jim Colgan, Jenny Luna, and me, Matt Abrahams. Mix engineering by Mumble Media. Special thanks to Dawn Frazier of the Stanford Storytelling Project. If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more about storytelling, please check out episode 168 with Matthew Dix and episode 50 with Paula Moya. You can hear complete episodes with some of our guests in this mini-series through our premium offering at fastersmarter.io/premium. Find more of our episodes on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. And check out fastersmarter.io for deep dive videos, English language learning content, and our newsletter.
Before we wrap up, I just want to say thank you for listening. It really means a lot to hear how people all over the world are using these ideas in their own lives. It inspires me and the whole team that brings you this show. If you want more episodes and resources, feel free to follow, subscribe, and explore past conversations. We're grateful for your support of Think Fast, Talk Smart.